Today on the Soda Pod, we'll jump right into the Hoppy Hour with Kyle and Sam of Notes from the North podcast on Vikings Gazette. Then we're going to talk some Minnesota Vikings week one and two. We'll dive into a little Minnesota Wild talk as well. Rookie camp is upon us, and we'll dive into whatever NHL news comes up as well. Let's go. The Wild Woods of Vancouver Island. Welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Jerome here alongside the State of Hoppy and the boys from Vikings Gazette. Thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. How's it going, boys? Kyle, you're new to the show. We'll start with you.
Yeah, I suppose I am. So I'm doing all right. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man. Sam, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Second time guest. Is that it's not quite a veteran status, but it's good to be back.
Recurring guest.
That's a good, yeah. I was trying to think of like a one-up on Kyle, but yeah. No, it's great to be back.
Yeah, and we're super excited to have you guys. Super excited to have the Pigskin Podcast Network rolling and to have, you know, some more sports talk within the great state of Minnesota. We love our Timberwolves guys, but I mean, there's not a lot to talk about there, so we'll stick with the Vikings right now. Before we dive into what we're drinking, boys, just want to give our listeners a quick reminder to listen to the Brewery Travels podcast. By the time this podcast has come out and you're listening to us on Friday, go back, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Brewery Travels podcast, a presentation of the Soda Pod. Our friend Joel, who you're very familiar with if you listen to this podcast, has launched Brewery Travels. He's a few episodes and he's got his own feed now, and he's absolutely crushing it. It's basically behind the scenes, pulling back the curtain on all the great stories, narratives, and just conversations with the people that he's met and connected with throughout his, well, Brewery Travels. If you're a fan of his blog, the podcast is just an additional piece of content that Joel is just super passionate about right now, and it's just a lot of fun to produce and be part of the Soda Pod family. If you haven't been following his blog or his Twitter account, check him out as well, The Brewery Travels. You can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter at The Soda Pod. Love all that interaction. If you want to leave us some wild takes or send any critiques of us or the show, hell, even tell us what you're drinking, you can do so by sending us a text or voicemail as well, 612-324-1684. And finally, the Hockey Podcast Network is proudly powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for a weekly deal. On the other side, it's the Hoppy Hour here, the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. You know, I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
All right, boys. What are we drinking today? Hoppy, let's start with you.
Oh, man. Well, I just polished off the last of Mark Parrish's finest Northland vodka. I don't know. If you haven't gone out and tried it yet, based on my recommendation, I'm not sure what I can say right now that will change your mind. But it is delightful.
It's a little hard in Canada to find that stuff right now, Mark.
Especially in Vancouver.
Yeah, especially way out here. The 7th Ave guys, and maybe Mark could probably send me a bottle of vodka. I mean, the 7th Ave guys trying to send me some frozen pizzas. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if it's going to reach the West Coast and still be okay, bud.
I've got my water. I'm that's all I've got. Okay. I remember when you were saying it last week, I was like, I think I've got a Coors Light in the back of the fridge. And
Hey, we like Coors. We're a very Coors friendly podcast here.
Yeah.
I mean, on my end, Sam knows this. I've never had a beer. I'm not a drinker at all. So I've got nothing for you except for my glass of water as well.
Hey,
but
that's
I do love orange juice with a little bit of pulp. That'd be my, if I go to a bar with you, I will get orange juice with some pulp, preferably.
I respect that because I'm a big pulp guy myself, and a lot of people give me shit for it. And you know,
No. Don't let them.
I don't, trust me. I mean, they try
to
say, you know,
lets them.
They're just trying to say you're just some hipster from the West Coast. Yeah, you're Blundstones and pulp orange juice over there. But look, it's the good shit. All right. Well, since it's funny, I found out Kyle and Sam actually met in Kingston Ontario, Canada. I have here the Tragically Hip Lake Fever Lager, Ode to the Lake Fever song by the Tragically Hip. Yeah, I admittedly haven't been a fan for too long. I bought four of their records recently. Their first ever one. See, like, I can't even say them all by name, and I feel almost like terrible as a Canadian there. But I bought their first record, their third one, and then there was two kind of like deep track ones from the mid-2000s that almost had like 90s punk style. I don't know if it was just like a different direction they went in, like the mid-2000s. I think it dropped in 2005 and one came in 2008. But just an unbelievable band that I'm just excited that I'm now anyways able to appreciate, even though I didn't back in the day. I was very much a Matthew Good Band guy, and that kind of shows, you know, that I am from Vancouver. But anyways, cheers to the Tragically Hip. Gord Downie, may he rest in peace. And the music will live on. And I mean, the band's still doing unbelievable things as far as their non-for-profits and just great initiatives up here in Canada. And I mean, if they're big in the States, you know, they're a revolutionary rock band. So cheers to that. All right. On the other side, we'll get into some Minnesota Vikings talk. That's the reason the boys are here. Kyle and Sam from the Viking Gazette. You're listening to the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Poppy, I'll let you take it away, sir. This is your domain.
I mean, at least we're not the Packers, right? I don't know. That's the only positive thing I can really say after
Poor
this
Joel.
Weekend.
Our boy from the Brewery Travels is a huge Packers fan. Posted a picture of like his very young, his little baby with the picture with the pack just decked out Packers a shirt. He had little footballs with him. The baby's just smiling away. That was before the game.
That's karma for child abuse, man.
Jesus.
But I don't know, guys, where you even want to start with this. I mean, first, Sam, you know the theme here, right? Let's talk about it. Is Kirk Cousins good? Is he to blame? Just go off on it. Kyle, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I thought, I thought he was mostly just so-so, especially towards the beginning. It's a bit of a two-way street in a sense. And so on the one hand, I was critical of him in that he wasn't pushing the ball downfield enough, I felt like. But then on the other hand, the offensive line played so poorly, right? And so I could see how that could perhaps make you a little bit skittish. But I do want to give him credit in the sense that, you know, he did move us down the field at the end of the fourth quarter, right? And then Greg Joseph kicks that field goal, so I give him credit for that. And then he also, on that second possession in OT, he also moved us into a position where we could, you know, again, perhaps drain the clock, have a shot at the field goal, and either leave Cincinnati with a tie or a win. But unfortunately, somewhat of a questionable call, we'll say. I would think. I'm not blaming the ref for the game. I think Minnesota did. They had made more than enough mistakes to shoulder the blame, I think, for that loss. But I wasn't a fan of that particular call. And I really can't blame Cousins, one, for the ref's decision, and two, for Cook losing that fumble, whether or not it actually was a fumble in the end. So I will give him credit for the way he played at the end specifically.
Yeah, I like Kyle and I think the boring thing is that we both kind of agree a little bit on Cousins. I would say like he was very average. I would say that he didn't do anything spectacular for the first part of the game, and part of that you can talk about the offensive line, whatever you want to reference like as potential issues with that. I will say that if Cook doesn't fumble that ball, I think we're talking about Cousins in a great manner. After game one, like if he doesn't fumble that and they push the ball up a little bit further, Joseph hits the field goal. It's about, hey, you know what? Kirk delivered, brought us down in clutch time here near the end of the game, and he delivered. And so Cook fumbling the ball, does that mean that was Kirk's fault? Like I know there's a lot of criticism about him, but I would say like for sure it wasn't spectacular, but certainly wasn't the factor, wasn't in the top five reasons why they lost that game.
Okay, yeah. That's fair. I got to ask both of you because, I mean, I know football, big fan, but I don't know if it's my misunderstanding or if Zimmer fucked up. So the no touchdown call, right? Everyone thinks it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he challenged that, you know, the play on the field is a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right.
Should he have instead challenged the placement of the ball? Like, that the ball was not marked correctly because, guess what? It was clear that they were at least marked short of where he should have been, if not a touchdown. Like, would that have made a difference had he said, I'm challenging, you know, the spot on the field?
That's interesting.
That's a good question.
I would say, truthfully, I don't know. It seems to me, and I don't know if this is something that will loosen up a little bit as the season goes, but it seems that a lot of times you go into the off season and they tweak things or adjust things, or maybe you have new folks in new positions. And so it seems to me that sometimes at the beginning, you follow it to the letter of the law and things are quite strict. And so I know the threshold they have to clear. I mean, it has to be clear, indisputable evidence in the booth that the call on the field was wrong. And I think sometimes to the letter of the law, it just probably makes it quite difficult for whoever's, you know, upstairs looking at that film review. So truthfully, I don't know if it would have made much of a difference.
So I guess from my perspective, Kyle, the reason I ask is because, again, if they see, no, like it was not a touchdown, like we can't call it that conclusively, but right. We can see that it should have been closer to the goal line. I'm less worried about the ball placement than I am about losing the timeout.
Right, exactly. So now you have that timeout for when you're driving late in the fourth quarter, is what you're saying.
That's my perspective. And again, I don't know if that's like batshit crazy or if that's something simple that Zimmer should know, because like right away, my thought was, why are we challenging that this is a touchdown? I would challenge that they placed the ball wrong.
Right. That's interesting. And then if it just so happens that it actually cleared.
Also was a touchdown. That's even better.
And great. It's a touchdown. Wonderful. And yep. If not, if it's at like the half yard line, as opposed to the 1 yard line, then so be it. You keep your, listen, you call up Spielman, dude. And see, or call up Zim. You might be onto something. I don't know.
I need him, Kyle. Don't give him any ideas.
Yeah,
he's the engine behind the soda pod.
Yeah.
I do wonder, because they do have to explicitly say like what they're challenging. I guess like I can't imagine there'd be a situation where if it is clear that he went in. I will say that I was more. I think the call of not reversing the Jefferson, what should have been a touchdown, was more with a worse call than the Cook fumble.
Oh, it was so easy to see.
It was quite clear. Like with Cook, you make an argument. It's hard to see the ball. It's moving around. But that to me, it was like, it was no doubt in my mind. I was like, that's coming. Like,
exactly.
We're going to call that a touchdown. Like, there's no problem.
And that's why I think Zim did. That's why I think Zim did it. Is that the person upstairs who kind of sends him words like, oh yeah, that's like, oh no, that's 100% a touchdown.
Right.
And so I think Zim just acts on that intel and says, oh yeah, I'm challenging that. And it's so clear to basically everybody. And then it doesn't happen as we anticipated. And so I mean, what you're saying, I think makes a certain degree of sense, but I think Zim was just reacting based off of like, yeah, this is obviously a touchdown. Like we're 99.9% winning this, obviously. And that we didn't win that. So
yeah, that sucks. Now we largely can complain about the reffing as a whole, right? We saw it all over social media, but you've already said it, Kyle. Like Vikings did everything they could to lose this game on top of the bad reffing.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, what is our perspective right now on Zimmer's job security? Like it's not an easy schedule up through that bye. What is it, week 6 or week 7?
Like, yeah, that's right.
What are the odds that he is no longer with this team after the bye?
Low. So it's not that he isn't on the hot seat. I believe that he is. And I will say I'm biased. I love Zim. Like I think he's a good coach. I think the fact that they went about the offseason in the manner that they did, they spent the money, they allocated the resources towards that defense in the manner that they did, suggests that they're intentionally crafting this team, shaping this team, molding it into Zimmer's image, which suggests to me that, dude, you're the guy for 2021. Come, you know, unless there's something truly catastrophic happens then, you know, if we're 2-13, wouldn't be shocked if he just, we just, okay, let's just end this, right? But I would be very surprised if, you know, if we go 1-5 again and they head into the bye, I would still be surprised if they fired him, just because it seems to me that the Wilfs really value a certain degree of stability. They don't want to be kind of a Cleveland's Brown-esque kind of approach to this thing. I think they would much rather be in the Steelers side of things, where there's kind of methodical, not reactionary. They have a vision. They allocate resources. They largely stay out of the football decisions, I think, for the most part. And you say what you want about that approach, but I imagine they're going to see this through with Zim this year, unless something truly disastrous happens.
Okay, so taking out the subjectivity, right, of how bad each game goes, we're saying that unless it's 0-6 going to the bye, you think he's completely safe. Sam, what's your cutoff?
Yeah, I think 1-5 is probably a good threshold. I do agree with Kyle in the sense that I do feel like it's hard to see a situation where he is let go before the end of the season, unless it is late and like things are just like completely gone. It's a really hard situation, I think, for this team, because they're just like, they are in on the season. They've made it clear that this is like a season they're going for it. And after watching week one, like, you're not going to make any sweeping statements, but like, even like, first place in the NFC North right now, like they're there. Like, this is certainly not over. And you can make an argument that as bad as they played, they probably played the best out of any of the teams.
that's probably true.
That's true.
Granted, the opponent,
Detroit actually played okay.
Detroit made a good run at the end. I was watching that game early and then watched how it. I was like, is this still like the same game? And like, they had a very real chance of making that happen, of coming out with a win. But I have a hard time seeing, you know, I have a harder time seeing this team actually going 1-5. Like, they're going to have to put it together at some point. And so for that reason, I think that it's hard to see Cousins go. I know it's hard after watching game one, and what we've seen so far in the preseason, but we're trying to be optimistic here. It's amazing how I can just see the Minnesota fandom just come out. And I've been there before. I've cheered for teams that lose, but don't give up hope yet.
Oh, buddy, if we beat the Cardinals, we're going to the Super Bowl. You know, exactly, that's how it works. It's full roller coaster mode, boys. Kyle, Sam mentioned to us when he joined us last week before the whatever you want to call Sunday. And mentioned that one of your concerns collectively, the two of you, was with the offensive coordinator and just not being super thrilled. Again, preseason being what it is, still weren't thrilled necessarily with what you were seeing there. Talk me through it. Like, obviously offensive line sucks and that's going to impact things, but what did you see on Sunday that makes you either firmer in that belief or gives you a little bit of optimism moving forward?
So I was a little bit concerned. So Little Coob, I think he's probably a reasonably smart dude. And I think the hope is that he is, you know, Kyle Shanahan to Mike Shanahan, this kind of boy wonder who follows in his dad's footsteps and is like, takes these tried and true concepts, but puts a modern spin on them and ends up being quite innovative. And so that would be the hope, right? And that is still my hope. I don't know if that will actually happen. Where I was a little bit concerned with the performance on Sunday was that it seemed to me that we didn't run play action nearly enough. And of course, Kirk Cousins does really, really well in play action, nor did we have nearly as many bootlegs as we needed. So to me, I mean, we're going up against Arizona. They've got Chandler Jones, who just had 5 sacks last Sunday. He had 5 friggin' sacks in one game, right? And then they got J.J. Watt, right? So it's not like the dude opposite Jones is some slouch. So I'm concerned in that if we think that we can throw the ball, Cousins threw the ball 49 times. Justin Jefferson had a throw in there as well. So we threw the ball 50 times. If we think we can go into Arizona, right, and throw the ball 50 times and succeed against Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt and all their friends, it's just not going to go well, right? With Rashad, I mean, I like Brian O'Neal, but Rashad Hill will probably struggle. And so to me, I'm looking for in this next week, I will feel a lot more encouraged if I see a lot more play action, a lot more balance between the run game and the pass game, which in fairness to Little Coob, that is going to require a lot less penalties to get behind the sticks. And I want to see more screens, bootlegs, moving the pocket, that kind of thing. Because if we don't do anything to help our tackles, Cousins might get destroyed in Arizona. And we might be trotting out Sean Mannion. So that would be what I'd like to see from Little Coob is a more concerted effort to help out his quarterback in that manner.
Fair enough. Now, as I'm looking at the odds right now on DraftKings, everyone sign up now. So go to DraftKings, sign up, promo code THPN. Hope that makes you fucking happy, Isha. And we've seen the line move. It started earlier today. Most of the places I looked at Vikings +4.5. It's actually shifted down to +3.5 as we record here on Wednesday evening. Over-unders at 50.5. Sam, starting with you, which way are you betting both sides?
Oh, man. Well, the Vikings are winning, so
okay. So it's taking easy that. Bet, then. Yeah, take the points. Are you going to bet? Are you going to bet them +165 instead?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you make me put money on it, my answer changes. No, but I'm just kidding. I'm all in. They're going to win. I think I would take the under on the points, but especially just with the defenses. But I'm hoping for a big Vikings win. So under on the points, but I think the Vikings will clear any of those lines 3.5, 4.5. I think they got it.
So under on the points. Yeah. And if it's someone else's money, Sam is hammering the Vikings in this matchup. I love the confidence. Kyle, what do you think?
I will gladly spend anyone else's money, yeah.
Yeah, right. So I'm assuming I'm spending Sam's money. I will go over on the points. I think the Cards are going to win. So that'll tell you. And I think they'll win by a reasonable margin. Yeah, so I think Kyler Murray is going to give us some real problems, and then I'm nervous about DeAndre Hopkins and scheming him on to Bashaud Breeland. So I'm actually going to take Arizona winning by 10 is my guess, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings get a few garbage points in there. So I'm taking the over on that point total, and give me Arizona with the win by a decent margin by 10 points.
See, everything that Kyle just explained was all like very logical. Like it makes sense. Like he said everything. I was like, yeah, no, you're right. But I'm going heart. And
Sam, sometimes he's a pushover. Sometimes he's just like, I think this. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Well, maybe. Kyle, you Sam, sounded really confident when you said that. So yeah, I'm with Kyle.
Yeah. No, I'm not backing down. I just think Kyle made a lot of better points than I made, but I stick by my statement.
I'll say all this though. You know what, fellas? Like I love saying I told you so. I love being right, especially with Sam. I said, I friggin' told you so, dude. But I would love to be wrong here, right? And so if Zim's defense goes out and it's just stifling, right? And just like Danielle Hunter is just chasing down Kyler Murray all day, man, I'm friggin' stoked, right? And so I will be very happy to be wrong on this one. But I'm going to be honest with what I actually think here.
Wow. I just had an out-of-body experience there, Isha. That was like me watching one of our debates on Judge Joey.
I was just going to say, you, Kyle, you and Hoppy are going to be real good friends.
there you go. There you
go. I followed my heart, Sam and Kyle, in the Canadian World Juniors this last year. Put $100 on them beating the Americans, and
that's that was USD, by the way.
That yeah, right. that was not a good night.
Yeah, okay.
Followed the heart, didn't follow the stats. Hoppy knew he knew his Americans would pull it out.
There you go.
They had the harder road to the gold medal game. Mm-hmm. Well, the championship, anyways, the World Junior gold medal. Excited to see some Olympic hockey though this season, boys. Man, I mean, you guys, I know we've been talking football here. We'll make a little transition to hockey in a sec, but just I mean, you don't have to be, it doesn't matter if you're a fan of football, basketball, whatever. I feel like when the Winter Olympics are around, I mean, even all eyes in USA turn to hockey at the end of the day, because it's one of the most important events, sports in that entire games. And we're finally getting it back with real, with NHL players. I shouldn't say real professional players, because they are professional players. You know, shout out the Volskys and, who are some other ones on our Canadian team at the time, Gilbert Brulé. But let's be honest, we want to see the actual NHL players back. So I'm just so pumped for this Winter Olympics. I'm pumped for back-to-back Olympics, right? Just had the summer ones, and now we're going right into a season where we're going to have the winter one as well. I mean, obviously as a result of COVID, which is unfortunate, but for the sports fans, this is just a treat for us. Before we do move the page to just some more Minnesota hockey talk anyways, I wanted to bring up, boys, because like, admittedly, not the biggest NFL guy, love my sports, love my football, I die on the CFL sword, you know, that's me, my BC Lions. They're not doing too well, but I'm still gonna support them till I die. I wanted to know between you two, like, are you Ticats or Argos guys, or do you just kind of say, you know, I'm Vikings, I'm NFL all the way, I don't really watch any of that three down crap?
Sam, you take it away.
Kyle and I admitted on our first show that we're definitely more NFL fans than CFL fans. We do, yeah. Like, to be fair, yeah. Within our podcast, we do have a three down system where that's our, how we do our talking points. So that's our little nod to the CFL. But as far as like fandom goes, I guess the Argos, but I actually don't mind the Ticats. My family members were huge Ticat fans. And so
I was just going to say, okay, regardless of your fandom, what the fuck does your family, like, what does your family follow? Because I know in Ontario, I mean, it's split, man. You're either Ticats crazy or, like, you still have, you know, 67-year-olds going to those Argos games who will just, like, anybody.
Like, my family members were, like, just huge Ticat fans. And so I'd love to go to a game at the Tim Hortons field there. But, yeah, for me personally, there's really not a whole lot of emotional attachment to any team.
Okay.
No, yeah, I could not be more disinterested in the CFL.
Kyle, thank you so much. And as it comes up too, like we've got an outline over here, and I'm like, what did Isha try to write here in French? I'm like, oh fuck, it must be CFL.
Hey, I was gonna write or Alouettes, but I figured, you know, we'll just leave that out of the equation.
Like, yeah, I'm not gonna watch NCAA football. I'd actually rather watch like JV or JUCO or some bullshit. I don't know.
Right. I mean, the NFL is just so good.
Yeah.
In comparison.
The skill level is just there. The CFL does have the potential for certain matchups to be fantastic football, like just incredible football. But with a three down system, it often leads to a lot of punting, and that's hard to watch.
Yes. No, I mean, like, when Grey Cup rolls around, that's when I truly just like feel that Canadiana and just football hype up here, because they do ramp it up. I mean, every local, you know, Canadian media, you know, that's one of our shining stars up here. So obviously there is some hype with that. For the most part, I'll watch Lions games when it's a good matchup, but our team fucking sucks right now, and Mike Riley's going out in smoke up here, so that sucks. But no, fair enough, boys, and I get it. All my friends out here on the West Coast, they're all Seahawks fans, and, you know, we'll go to a Lion. What we do is usually we'll, like, if we hit up Vancouver from the island, we'll hit up a Lions game, one, like the MLS team, and then try to hit up, like, a AAA baseball. And that's kind of like our fun thing we do in the weekend. And all of that, the whole price of the entire weekend is, you know, equivalent to one Seahawks ticket. So we usually do just the all Vancouver sports weekends instead of going down to Seattle. I've actually yet to go to a game. I've gone to a basketball game when the Sonics were still there. Going to take my old man to a Seahawks game because he's a huge football fan. He went in he's from Iran. He came here as technically a refugee at the time, and he went all into American football, right? Like, that was his thing. So right away became a Seahawks fan and just has loved the NFL. Cannot get him to get into hockey. So it's kind of funny how we're split on that, but it makes for some good, some sports conversation. Last thing before we move into hockey, because I want to just talk a little bit about the Vikings Gazette here, since we're still on football topic. Sam talked a little bit about his involvement in the blog, in the podcast and everything last week, but Kyle, I mean, this is your baby. How did Vikings Gazette come to be, and where did it all start? Give us the origin story.
Yeah, so I mean, the pandemic's been weird, right? And so I'm a doctoral candidate in English, and so I enjoy writing, but I was kind of looking for a way to, I don't know, feel productive avoid writing my dissertation and that kind of thing. And so my wife kind of put it to me. We were talking about, you know, different ideas for making money and this and that. And she kind of just said, you should start doing a little bit of sports writing and see what you can do. And so I ended up doing this site and no really big expectations at all, but got a little more traction than I anticipated. And then I ended up getting hooked up with the dude who owns, he's since passed away, but at the time he owns purpleptsd.com and vikingsterritory.com, which are pretty good sized Viking sites. And so I started writing for his sites and doing some work with him. And he kind of mentions, you know, hey, it would be a good thing if you just, you know, for your overall platform, if you were to have a podcast and you could promote it on my sites and you could promote it on your own site. And you could just kind of, it's just another way of creating content, right? And so I put it to Sam. And so Sam and I have kind of done Notes from the North on the side. That's kind of like our own thing. I mean, Sam would probably tell you that, you know, he wouldn't start a Vikings podcast just on his own kind of thing. But I've always kind of viewed this very much as a partnership, right? Like there is no Notes from the North without Sam doing his thing, right? Because, I mean, who wants to listen to me just drone on, you know, for 30, 40 minutes, right? So, you know, Sam brings his
Hoppy would.
Hoppy would, you know, he'd be my audience of one. And then after that, you know, it's basically just Hoppy and I. So, I mean, yeah, so Sam and I have been doing the podcast now for a little bit and have enjoyed it. I think for the most part, I've enjoyed it. Sam, maybe not, but it's
been good for me. I love it. I was telling him at the start of the season, I think I said on one of the episodes, like, I'm still not a Vikings fan per se, but like, I feel like I'm slowly being dragged into this, like, I don't know if it's a pit or what it is, but like, it's a, there is part of me that's just like, I really want this team to do well. And partially because it's more fun to talk about wins than losses, but yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun to be talking Vikings with Kyle, because I've seen how his fandom has affected his life. I was there when they lost in the playoffs a couple years ago. And I like, there is very few things that are as uncomfortable as like trying to console a friend whose team has just lost in the playoffs. Yeah.
2011 Vancouver Canucks. Yeah, I can empathize.
Yeah. Totally. It's hard to watch. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
So explain to me, Sam, the one that doesn't have an emotional attachment to the Vikings is the one who's betting someone else's money with his heart that the Vikings have to win.
Hey, this is the thing. I get to come in without all the baggage of just the losses. And so I just think that, you know what, you lose a game like that, and if there is any chance that this team's going to do something, they need to respond big this week. Like, I think that obviously no games must win. There's 16 games, but like
17 now.
I just feel like 17. Sorry, right? It's changed. I forgot. I remember I listened to an interview. They're like 16 more games. I was like, right. Anyways, I think they're going to still do it. I have faith.
I absolutely thought the Vikings were going to tie that game just so that they could go 500.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, and yeah, that would have, for us anyways, would have been outstanding content. Kyle, Sam, you guys do great work on the podcast. And Kyle, what you've done with your blog and website is awesome. It's, you know what, put you on our radar and Brandon's radar when we linked up for Pigskin Podcast Network stuff, and really excited to, you know, be able to connect with you guys as a result and do some cross promotion here on the podcast. If you don't mind riding shotgun for a few more minutes, we have one more segment. It is a little hockey heavy as we dive into, well, the end of the first day of rookie camp, as the Minnesota Wild players just have gotten off the ice, just got, well, their physicals, and some of our friends like Jesse, Piers, Russo have all been reporting on it all day. So we'll dive into a little bit of that before wrapping up episode 202 of the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any Week 2 game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving away all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or Indiana 1-800-9. So like I said, rookie camp begins. Players took to the ice, underwent their physical testing. Jesse Pierce, friend of the show, who was at the rink reporting on this all day, actually got an interesting quote from Rossi, a positive quote from Marco Rossi, saying, when I was injured, my passion was to play hockey. After such a long time not playing hockey, you realize how much you love the sport, especially right now when I'm out there. I always appreciate more to be out there because I'm thankful I can play hockey. And I mean, this guy went through hell and back with COVID-19, the complications as a result. I mean, there were times throughout his recovery where he thought, okay, I may never be able to play at this level ever again. What's crazy about it is during the World Juniors when this guy was sick, and they said they were testing over there, but clearly the guy was not doing well, you know, playing with the virus. And as a result of just going as hard as he could on the ice and just everything involved with that, and just, you know, the lack of information even at that time on the virus and all, I mean, Rossi took, as far as professional athletes, or even, you know, he's a semi-pro athlete, I guess at the time he was in junior, like, we haven't heard that many stories of COVID hitting, you know, young men in that, I guess, who are that healthy, that hard. Really excited and happy to see him back on the ice. And apparently he's just zooming out there. Jesse was tweeting about how fast he was. Russo was tweeting about how fast he was. So Hoppy and I know Sam and Kyle, if you follow the Wild, I know Sam a little bit there. Kyle, I know he said you guys touch on it. I mean, what were your guys' thoughts? And we'll start with you, Hoppy, just seeing that today on Twitter, just hearing that this guy's in good health and he's really going to push to try to get on the team and play a lot of minutes this year.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's healthy and he's out there, that's all I needed to see, right? Because that was the big question coming out of a year layoff where we didn't know if he was ever going to play again. Like, just with how unsure we were about the complications he was experiencing, like, that's some serious shit.
Yeah.
So seeing him skate, all my concerns are now gone. People are surprised at how fast he looks skating. Have you seen those goddamn tree trunk quads that he has? Of course he's a fast skater. I'm a person that's like very opposite of you, Sam, in the sense that like I try to have like zero emotion when I evaluate this stuff. I love Marco Rossi, and I like am doing everything I can to compress my excitement. Fingers are hard. Man, if he plays on a line with either Fiala or Kaprizov, dude's going to torch. He's going to absolutely be in the running for a Calder Trophy. But again, transition to the NHL is tough. Of course, he's going to look good in these practices. Like, I'm really tempering my expectations. I'm pretty much writing this year off for all the big rookies, whether it's Rossi, Boldy, Addison. I just want them to make some level of progress and make it into the squad by the end of the year. Next year's when I'm going to sit back and I'm going to evaluate them and really see where they fit.
Yeah. Kyle, Sam, jump in there. If you guys have anything to comment as well.
Yeah. Like, I think the thing with Rossi is that it's hard because I know they're still figuring out details about how COVID affects the body and the effects. And it sounds like for him, like just the length of impact that this has had on him is significant, but it's fantastic to hear these out there. Fantastic to see that he is, yeah, just buzzing around the ice. I do think that leading up to last year, it felt like there was a lot of expectations. I know, I don't know who you guys are listening to, but I remember hearing some people like, could Rossi be the number one center for this team? And I was like, man, this guy just got drafted. Like, they got to slow down a little bit here.
We've never had a center, buddy. We've never had a center.
The thing, when you're so desperate for a center, you're ready to make the 18-year-old the number one center. And I was like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. But yeah, hopefully he's been able to take some good time to be able to continue his development. And I still think got to be work slow with some of these guys, but the opportunity is there for him whenever he's ready.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you said take it slow with his development, because this last year he lost a whole year of development and he was recovering. Now, a lot of junior players, the entire hockey year, the hockey season was it was unique to say the least, especially in junior, where some of the OHL, WHL, they only played like a handful of games, especially in junior A. I think it was even just 15 in some markets. So everyone kind of got a development lull, but they were still training. They were still doing on ice work. I mean, you'd like to think anyways, those who are really have their, hearts and eyes set on the National Hockey League and the pro leagues. Hoppy, you mentioned Boldy. We'll just fire through some of these prospects here that I know Minnesota Wild fans have a key interest in. Matthew Boldy, based on everything I've read about today and, seen on Twitter, it seems like the young man understands the situation, that he will most likely play in Iowa or at least start in Iowa this year, but that he's going to work hard in camp regardless, because, hey, with the Wild's cap situation, even this year where there is some room, I mean, ELCs are the answer. So, I mean, if there's room for a young player who can fit in cheap and the Wild can maybe even for just the rest of the year bring in some supplementary scoring around them, if these young guys pan out this year, if there's a few and they can continue to make this push, because realistically, and we've been talking about this the last few weeks, if they're going to make a push, it's going to be this year. Then it's going to have to be, cruise control for a bit while they're capped out due to the buyouts. Excited to see that Boldy, is just here to work. And that's kind of the vibe I got from him and all the media's dealings with him this last year anyways, Hoppy. Did you see anything else on Boldy? I didn't really watch any video of him skating around. I couldn't really find any today.
No, but I think you hit the nail on the head that just because of where this team is and isn't deficient, like, he has to start in Iowa unless he absolutely wows them in training camp.
Exactly.
Like if he was in Rossi's situation, right, like coming in, he played last year, if he was a center, he'd be the shoe-in to be in the top six, right? But that's why Rossi has this opportunity in general, is because there's zero center depth and we have more than we could ask for at wing. So I think he absolutely is going back to Iowa, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing with some of the other good players that are going to be down there. Like, that's some real quality minutes for a guy that, like, let's be real, if they're going to slap him onto like the third or fourth line, I don't fucking want it.
All right, one guy who I know you don't want to see in Iowa is Kalen Addison. The guy cut his hair, by the way, those beautiful curly locks.
R.I.P. Kenny Jr., man.
Kenny Powers Jr. I love it.
Yeah, and he's unfortunately in a weird spot where he's probably not going to get a ton of ice time this year. If anyone in the top four gets hurt, he's the immediate call-up. But I think their bottom pairing is pretty much solidified between a rotation of those three guys that they signed in the offseason, which I think makes sense. Like, you got to add some size and some grit. It's where the team's a little deficient. And you know what? If Addison gets a chance because someone's either not playing up to snuff or someone gets hurt in that top four group, I'm excited to see what he can do. But in the meantime, I'm pretty okay with him spending another year, give or take, in Iowa, just to, again, develop his game, get some confidence, and make sure that he's not sitting on the bench and getting like the spot 12 minutes in a game. I'd rather him get out there and get real meaningful minutes.
Right. And I mean, Iowa's going to be stacked this year anyway, so it's going to be
great. I might go to my first Iowa Wild game.
Hey, I want to hit up those, the ECHL Iowa team. I don't know if Sam and Kyle, you've seen those jerseys around, the Wild sports media, but they're absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Two more prospects will quickly just run through here. Vladislav Firstov, he's not taking part in any of these camps as he's going back to UConn. Actually, a Nanaimo kid who went to school with my sister, and we brought him on our old radio show and stuff. Junior B product out here, played Junior A and got a Div 1 scholarship to UConn. I think he's captain this year as well. He was telling me that this kid is the real deal. Instead of actually going back and playing in Russia in any of the either the junior league there or with like a division two of the KHL, I forget what league that's that I forget the official name of it anyways, he elected just to stay in the United States and just train with the university trainers, as he's just heart set on playing in the NHL, staying in North America, developing his game out here. So that was really cool to see. He had a great first season with UConn. Obviously, with COVID, the second season was compromised. I don't think he played much at all, but this year he's poised to do big things. Connor Duar and Brandon Duhaime will report to the Wild's big boy camps next week. Those who listened to our episode a few weeks ago with Spoke Z, super high on Duhaime. Like, he says that this guy's just a wrecking ball, and that at any level of hockey, every coach has loved him, and that he can just bring a presence to the ice. So he's not going to put up points, but he could be an opening day kind of guy, because he fits the mold of just a National Hockey League, you know, hard nosed defenseman who's got some speed because he's still young, and he can move the puck, though that's not his specialty. Sam and Kyle, I know, again, Vikings guys, not huge hockey guys, but the buzz about this Kirill Kaprizov kid is just, you know, it. Every media outlet related to Minnesota is talking about him. It's taking way too damn long. I mean, last week we were saying, oh, rumor is there's a 5-year deal, $9 million. It's gonna happen. Well, this rumor's been fucking coming through the airwaves and been printed and been online blogs for like 3 months now. How long do you guys think this is going to play out? I think until training camp. I think this is one of those things like Drew Doughty, where when the NHL season starts, the kid will sign. None of that training camp bullshit. Sam, Kyle, like, either you can jump in. What are your thoughts on this? When would you like to see this kid in? When do you think it's going to happen?
Yeah, I'll take it. So on our podcast, I touched on it a little bit and just said, like, I didn't see Fiala or him signing until at least September. And then Fiala goes and signs the 1-year deal. But I do think, I mean, listening to Alan Walsh talk earlier this week, where he was just talking about how, like, deadlines create urgency. And right now, like, there's no urgency to make this thing happen. Like, I don't see anything, like, what's the difference between him signing now and 2 weeks, except for the agony of fans watching and waiting for him to sign. I've seen in the NHL before, sometimes these guys wait and wait, and all of a sudden it takes this point where someone's like, enough's enough, and they make it sign. Like, if they needed to, I think that they would be able to figure this out in 24 hours and get it done. So I'm not worried. I understand the concern because he is such a key player on this team. But I just, it's not about if, it's when for me. I think that this is going to get done, but I understand the agony of waiting for these deals.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, the Jerry Jones, right? The owner of the Cowboys, deadlines make deals. Right. And that's exactly right. And if it does end up being, and I was saying this to Sam, you know, and Sam knows more about hockey than I do, but for me, Kaprizov, 5 years, $9 million, that just strikes me as an excellent deal for both sides. I think Wild fans should be thrilled with those numbers, but that's just my perspective. Hoppy disagrees, apparently, but
it's better than I thought it might become, but I still think that's, I don't know.
For the most part, they are. We get nitpicky here. We're hockey guys, right? I think for the most part, and like Hoppy said, like, it's fine. If that's what it takes to bring him in, like, let's do it. It's better than anything too short, and it's better than like a longer contract with just outrageous money. So it's a good middle ground, yeah, I guess.
I'm definitely okay with it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And Isha, you asked a question, though. When is it like at what point has it been too long? You know, it's been too long when at like 1 or 2 a.m., a fake LeBron account posts that it's a 4-year, $7 million deal, and people just fucking swarmed.
I missed that. I can't believe I missed it.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah, it was great because I had my wake up Derek Felska post, because he always posts whatever's new, and he was right on top of it. He's like, well, 4-year deal at $7 million. I guess that means that the Wild get 3 years of Kaprizov and they'll have to trade him in that fourth year.
Oh, he fell
and
for
like
it.
A couple Derek, people are like, oh, it. Dude, it's not real.
That's hilarious.
A normally ton of people guys, fell for it.
Normally those accounts are really popular around the trade deadline, but that's amazing. The one thing I will say about Kaprizov is that I don't think there's an RFA out there that has more negotiating power than he does that I can remember for a long time. Like, he seems like such a crucial player to this team. He's got the the threat of going to Russia. I know that's kind of been back and forth of whether that's true or not.
Yeah, but like, that's gone.
I that's what I picked up from what I've read. But I just, he has a lot of negotiation power in this, and so it makes sense that it's taken a while, but I think it's going to get done.
Yeah, I mean, it's killing me as a Canucks fan, because apparently fucking Elias Pettersson's camp and CAA is not going to sign until Kaprizov signs, because they want to match that contract, or at least
they should get more.
Well, yeah, they're going to use that as the bar. So as a Vancouver Canucks guy over here as well, I'm just like, come on, Billy Guerin, get it done for my sake as well. Oh man. Well, that's all the time we have today. Again, Sam, Kyle, so thrilled for both of you to jump on, and excited to do more of these this entire NFL season. Thanks to everybody tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you do for us this week, any week, is to give us a kind review and 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. If you're jonesing for more hockey content, go listen to our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. We have a podcast covering every team in the National Hockey League, plus a boatload of original content. Are you on the Danbury Trashers train right now? Go to listen to Fourth Line Voice. Unbelievable stuff there. The OG Fight Podcast. None of that hockey fight stuff. On your app, please download any of the episodes before you listen on any of our networks, the Hockey Podcast Network, the Basketball Podcast Network, and the Pigskin Podcast Network, especially Notes from the North from Vikings Gazette. And on your app, please download the episodes before you listen, as it just helps our business. Don't forget to follow myself at VI Sports Talk, the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod, and of course the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. Kyle, Sam, where can they find you guys?
Yeah, so I've just the podcast itself doesn't have its own distinct social media, so I just kind of promote it at Vikings Gazette on Twitter. And stop by purplePTSD.com, stop by VikingsGazette.com, read the written stuff, listen to the podcast stuff, and I don't know, hopefully don't be so sad about the Vikings all the time.
You can find me at State of Hoppy most places.
All right, boys. Again, this was a lot of fun. Kyle, Sam, we'll be sure to share all your works there on Viking Gazette, and make sure that our Wild supporters, who are huge Vikings fan, hashtag Skol, to check out your guys' content as well. It's a big family here at Amaze Media Labs, and we appreciate all the hard work you guys do as well. That's it. That's the show. Episode 202 in the book. Signing off, I'm Isha Jerome, alongside State of Hoppy, Sam, and Kyle. This has been the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, boys?
Yeah.
Good.
Don't fear. Just drink some beer and stay wild.